Hey, greetings in Jesus' name this morning to the big crowd here gathered at Cornerstone. hopefully we can all gain new truths this morning. Today I plan on doing the last part of my series on salvation. So today is on sanctification. And I'll just go over the a summary again. You guys have seen this, but it's good to be repeated. So God developed the plan of salvation. It starts with a knowledge of Him. Knowing who God is brings true joy. And then I was a sinner. That was the state I was in. Justification. Jesus saves me from sin. I'm changed. I'm no longer a sinner. I am a saint. And then I become a saint because God made me a new creation. And then sanctification, what we're going to talk about today, is where the rubber meets the road. Living righteously and learning to follow my godly desires, learning from the times I sin and making changes with guidance found in the Bible and the help of God's indwelling power. That indwelling power, as you remember, is that becoming a new creation, the living water that he gives. And the theme verses here, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And Ephesians 4:20-24. Actually, why don't we read this together? But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off the old man, belong to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in the true righteousness and holiness. So again, the last part of this series. And I'll just run through a quick summary, and then I have a few reviews, and then we'll dig into sanctification a little bit more. What is sanctification? A saint learning to be more like Jesus. It is the second function of salvation. It is the learning to live righteously. And it happens after we are justified and while we are trying to fulfill our godly desires. And this is the Christian journey, being changed from glory to glory. This is what we experience as we walk with God. This is the living salvation, growing in a relationship with God, and the bulk of our time spent in the Christian life. And we'll hit these things again as we go through. And in review, I just kept my same slide from last, because saint and sanctification is so closely related. It's from the same root word in the Greek. And so being sanctified is being made holy. And so as a saint, we are, it uses that same word, hagios, or holy, set apart, consecrated, dedicated, and saints. Those are the ways it's translated. It refers to the quality of God, who is transcendently distinctive, unique, magnificent, perfect, and pure. So, I'm just showing some of the ways they are the same. The saint is translated from this, the first portion here, the root word is agios, and then saint is hagios. And then sanctification is this hagios mas. And there's only six translations to sanctification, four into holiness. I won't tarry too long here, just kind of giving you a brief overview again. And this just shows the different times that particular version or that word is used in the New Testament. Okay, so sanctification, meaning becoming holy, or it's the process of getting, of setting apart or consecrating or dedicating, purifying, all those words. And again, this word, the actual Greek definition of the word translated sanctification is dedication to the Lord or a dedication to moral purity. And I like how Lexham Survey of Theology puts it. It says, sanctification is the ongoing supernatural work of God to rescue justified sinners from the disease of sin and to conform them to the image of his Son, holy, Christ-like, and empowered to do good works. That's I think, is a pretty good description of sanctification in a nutshell, is the ongoing work of God in your life to become more like him, essentially. Okay, here's a review from the last time, too. When I talked about being slaves to righteousness versus being slaves to sin, I'm just going to read this again, because I think it really ties into what sanctification is like. So Romans 6:19, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free to regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at the time when from the things of which you are now ashamed? So in other words, what kind of fruit did you have even when you were free from having to do righteousness? What fruit were you getting? You're now ashamed of that fruit. For the end of those things is death. Verse 22 there. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end is eternal life. And I love that verse. Becoming slaves to God, or slaves of righteousness. And then, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So another review on meaning as saints. I'm just bringing this up again because trying to pull together the whole thing of becoming a saint. You are a saint in the core of who you are. You are holy because if you have accepted Christ as your Savior and you are reborn, you, in the core of who you are changed. And then as you flesh that out, which is sanctification through the flesh, you need to, or the process is to become more like this as a whole person, more holy, you know, being that new man and living that out. That's what sanctification is all about. So just a little quick summary for the meaning of sanctification. The short version is becoming more like Christ or holy, a lifelong process. In the Old Testament, it was synonymous with holy. They were, and it's translated holiness or sanctification in the New Testament, both. Sanctification is all about performance, with Holy Spirit renewing to Godward desires. We'll get into that a little bit more, but it's the relationship of God transforming you and you performing better. And then looking at salvation, you have justification, which is you're being born again. The Holy Spirit comes in and you're made a saint. You're set apart. You're made holy. And the made holy at the DNA or the spirit level. But your flesh needs to be sanctified for the rest of your life. Hence, continuing sanctification, even if you're a saint at heart or in your core level, your flesh still needs to be sanctified. And so that's the way I understand sanctification. Again, becoming holy, and it's where the rubber meets the road. It's the journey. It's the walking, the Christian life. It's the interaction of the Holy Spirit renewing us after we have become reborn. And it's the whole person changing, not just the core of who we are. And the change should be seen outwardly in good works. So good works, it's all about good works and the good workings within, or the changing within. And these are good works from godly desires, and we'll look at that more in depth in a bit. I love this verse. Jesus is praying for his disciples, and sanctify is part of that same thought of becoming holy. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And this is out of John 17. As you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, which is same type of thing, sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That includes us. And that we may be sanctified in truth. And that was Jesus' prayer for us way back then. It says that in verse 21, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them, and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. That's a lot of power there. Christ calling, praying for us to be holy like him and God are, their relationship is holy. And it's through truth. Now I have another excerpt out of Val Yoder's book and on sanctification, the process of becoming holy. It says, all sins, unrighteous acts and deeds are produced. Sin doesn't occur in a vacuum. So behind every sin, there is a why question. I sin because I honor an evil desire in my soul. So it's not the doing of the sin that's as big a deal as it is the desire of my soul that causes me to sin. So I sin because I honor an evil desire in my soul. I cannot go against desire indefinitely. I'm not sure how I feel about that phrase, but said if the evil desire is there, I will eventually honor it. So if I house evil desire in my life, I will eventually yield to it, is what he's saying here. So I am either running after something, which is idolatry, or running away and avoiding something, which is hardness. The two often happen simultaneously. So you can be running away towards something that you want, or running to something that you want and away from something you don't want at the same time. A lot of times that is what's happening. So the evil desires that are still residing in my heart do not define me as a believer. It doesn't say whether I'm a believer or not. And I added this underline, yet to live in progressive victory, they must be recognized and weakened. We will struggle in the realm of evil desire, the flesh, the rest of our lives. But the Lord does weaken them, might be destroyed, as in Romans 6:6, as we acknowledge and confess them and live a life of repentance. So this is all about living the life, walking the walk. So I got a couple slides here to try to illustrate this. And so sin separates us from God. At the age of accountability, the time we're convicted by the Holy Spirit of what sin is, we reject God's salvation, we are separated from him. And so the original man or the old man, we do evil deeds, evil works from selfish desires, and we do good works from selfish desires. And again, I'll go into that a little bit later. But so there's this big separation of sin between God and man. And this is all stuff you guys know, but just to help illustrate this, we have that separation, and then justification is the only is only through Christ's death and resurrection. So that's the only way to get through this. Good works mean nothing for justification. Actually, justification is more tied to bad works than it is to good works, because he died for your bad works so you can be justified and be made holy in God's eyes. And justification comes through faith. I don't say faith alone. You have to know God, you have to trust God, and you have to commit. And it's all because of faith that you'll actually go through with that, but it takes a combination. And the other thing with, I don't know why people say faith alone, because they also say then you have to say the prayer. Well, you can say the prayer without having faith, so that makes sense, but you can't have faith without, well, I say saying the prayer or walking the walk or getting the relationship, because, and that's another thing I wanted to clear up too. I say justification is a point in time. For me, it was very much a point in time prayer that I said that I can remember. For a number of people, there isn't a point in time, and that point in time can look like 10 years. It's a time of process of when you're coming to God. And I know God knows your heart better than I do. Sometime in that 10 years, he saw that you're now walking for him. So anyway, that was just a clarification on the, and we'll talk about that a little bit more too on justification. So to span the gap, we need to become a new creation, born again, new man, to become a saint. And in order to do that, obviously it's only through Jesus. And Titus 3, 5 says, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So this has, so being saved, justification, has nothing to do with good works. It's all about Jesus' mercy. And it's just as if I had never sinned. There is one caveat to staying justified, if you will. And that is, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's technically cleanses us from each and every sin. And the Greek tense of the verb cleanses is illustrated in a series of dots. So it's past, present, future. You're one of the center dots, but it's moments of time. So each sin is getting cleansed as you go, past, present, future. There's a past tense, there's a future tense, there's a present tense, and Greek has a tense that's like a all time. So it's past, now, and future, but it's all one straight line. And it's all happening. But this particular tense is, it's happening as you are walking. So when you stop walking in the light is when you reject justification. So I just wanted to, I love that verse in the way that describes justification. So you're not justification, you stay justified as you're walking and your sins are getting cleansed. And so there's an active interaction between Christ and us for every sin that we commit. He is on the throne interceding for us in action. But justification is kind of one of those things that comes up and it's just a straight line. We are justified or we're not, kind of thing. So that's justification. And then to look at sanctification, let's look at justification here. So justification is while walking, and it's a continual cleansing from sin, the sins that we do. Sanctification is then becoming more like Christ. It's a living sacrifice. I'm not going to go into that Romans thing, but about living, being a living sacrifice. And it's good works from godly desires. And we'll go into good works a little bit more later. But so our flesh is getting renewed. And watch the little man on the bottom left. Whoa. There we go. So we cross that line. We come and we fade as sinners. And then we progressively grow in becoming more and more like God until we meet eternally and we will be perfect like he is perfect. We'll be holy like he is holy. And when I did this illustration, I didn't really think about it until after I did it. You know, I started out with black just because black is sin and being purified, and then I was just using green for my illustration of God, and so I progressed to the green. But there is a point in time where when you're going from self to following Christ, where your identity almost, you're not sure who you are. And I had to think of that in that little conversion there where the guy's almost white, you about can't see who he is because he's changing. But anyway, that was just a side note of what happened out of my illustration. But so it's that progression, walking. So sanctification while walking is becoming more like Christ. And sanctification is who we are as a human, fleshing out our Christianity. So hopefully that kind of helps. The justification is steady and getting cleansed as we're walking. Both of these require walking or a journey, and sanctification is the Holy Spirit working in us, making us more like him. So good works. We're talking about some good works. I use the definition, I wasn't sure how to say it, but doing godlike actions. I don't know if that's the greatest definition or not, but there are right and wrong ways to do good works. The right way is through godly desires, and the wrong way is through fleshly desires. And they can look exactly the same from the outward without knowing the difference. So sanctification and how it works with good works is changing those selfish good works to be godly good works. And then it also adds new godly desires. So we're, and hopefully losing some evil desires that we have as well. And so the Holy Spirit Holy Spirit's interaction creates inward change, which inspires good works outwardly. And to get into this more. Looking at Titus 2 and 3, I'm going to go through here. Paul's talking to Titus, and the title of, in my Bible and the ESV that I have, is Teach Sound Doctrine. So Titus 2, 1 through 5. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, and that pure is the same root word as sanctify, sanctification, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So in this context, it has some part of it as teaching younger ones here, but teach good works is what was instructed here. And then verse 6, likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and the sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that any opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Sounds like some sanctification to me. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of our God and Savior. So show yourself to be a model of good works. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. He starts out, it's the grace of God bringing salvation for all people. So it's available for all people. And he says, training to renounce ungodliness or deny self is what it looks like to me in this section here. It says, live self-controlled, upright, godly lives. And he says, purify for himself a people for his own possession. The purify is a little different word for than sanctified, but it still has that sacred type of thought. And then it's to purify himself for a people for his own possession who are zealous of good works. So Titus chapter 3, be ready for every good work. It says, remind them to be submissive to rulers. It's still talking about salvation to all people. Be submissive to rulers and authorities and to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves of various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. At ready for every good work, and we're supposed to remind all people to be this, and that's. I'm not sure how all that looks, but that whole list that he goes through there of to speak evil to no one, avoiding quarreling, all that looks like someone who would be holy and would be being sanctified. And I'm just going to go on through verse 4. It says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. This isn't read because of Jesus saying it. It's read because it goes with justification. So he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So, there again, the justification part was not because of our works. But the Holy Spirit is poured out on us richly. To work with us in our sanctification process. Verse 8. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. And so there again, so those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. And it says that these things are excellent and profitable for them. And it's also saying to avoid evil works. There are two other scriptures I want to touch on before closing this up. But first of all, as far as Titus, I didn't realize Paul talked about having good works so much and so clearly in a section like he did in Titus. I think there's other places, but he definitely is very clear here when he's talking to Titus that is part of being a part of sanctification, part of being a believer is doing good works. It's not what saves us. Justification is what saves us, and it doesn't. That's not related to our works, but sanctification is all about works. So 2 Corinthians 3, 12 through 18, this is one of my favorite chapters or sections. And so since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, but their minds were hardened. So I don't know if you remember when Moses would go in and talk to before the Lord, he would come out and his face would glow, and they're like, "Oh, this is too much." And so he would veil his face, and that glory would eventually fade, but they would not see that fading, or they were not bold to look on that bright face. So that's where this is referencing. It says, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is of the Spirit. As I understand this, he is saying, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed in steps from one degree of glory to another. And we are becoming into the same image, or an image like Christ. We are being sanctified, being from glory to glory. And I just love that picture. It's not like it's a one-step thing. We've got to be okay with taking the little steps of from one degree to another degree of glory. And we are being transformed, but it's comes from beholding the glory of the Lord, which is through reading his word. And then one other scripture that is really, that I love, that is part of sanctification. It's out of Philippians 2, 12 through and 13. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That shows a tandem, God working. I mean, he's asking us to work out our own salvation, so he doesn't leave us off the hook. We are supposed to try to understand God. We're supposed to try to understand salvation, and that comes with fear and trembling. It comes with an awe of God and trying to understand him. But it is God who works in us. He is there pushing us or prodding us along, is the way it comes out when I do the Greek word study. There is, it's alongside and it's a prodding. He works in you, and he works towards his will and his work, and it's for his pleasure. And that is a powerful message of how God is working in us in the sanctification journey. So in conclusion, sanctification is becoming holy or like Christ. And it's because of the inward working of the Holy Spirit. And beholding the glory of the Lord, transforming into his image from glory to glory. And it's being a slave of righteousness. Now I'm going to do just a little review, since this is my last part. Come back to our theme verse. In Christ we are a new creation, from death to life, born again. Let's just, if you can read that, let's read these things together again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. And Ephesians 4:20-24. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off the old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and corruption and deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And then back to one of my favorite verses, where the living water is flowing out of our heart. And it's on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Spirit has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And then I'll just leave you with this illustration again. Justification is only through God, and it has nothing to do with good works. It's more to do with bad works and Jesus' own mercy interceding for us. But it is, we need to be walking in the light and having fellowship with one another, and Jesus' blood will cleanse us if we do that. And that's our continual walk. And then the growth happens in sanctification. So justification is while walking and continual cleansing. Sanctification is becoming more like Christ. Our flesh getting renewed. And as we walk, we become more and more like God and grow, and he's working in us as we do that, as we do that walk. It's becoming more like Christ. It's who we are as a human fleshing out our Christianity. Hopefully that makes sense. Does anybody have any questions or anything, or any comments they want to share? I'm not going to say I have the answer, but before we pray. Or anything that I'm wrong on. Well, we can talk about it later too, so let's pray. God, I just want to come before you. I want to thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you love us and that you walk with us in sanctification, and you give us the ability to follow you, and you desire for us to do good works and to become more like you and to show others who you are by the way we live and by our changing lives. And just help us to honor you with our lives. Just pray this all in your name. Amen.